ब्रज बिहारी जय कुबिजन किरीबर धारी जय गोपीजन किरीबर धारी जय किशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन किशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बर चारी जमुना तीरा बर चारी राधा माधव कुंज विहारी राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना हीरा बरे चारी जमुना तीरा बर चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय जय राधा माधव जय राधा माधव राधा माधव जय राधा माधव प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा जय ओम श्री परमहंस परिव्राज श्री समर बहंग शैसी भक्तिवीरांत स्वामी श्री भोपाल की जय इसका ध्यान आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौती वैष्णविंद की जय रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम श्री गौर श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर श्री बांसुरी गौर भक्तविंद की जय श्री श्री राधा माधव गौ गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद रारा कुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन श्री मथुर धाम की जय नवरीत माया बोधाम की जय श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय गंगाबाई जमुनामाई की जय, तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय, सांग वैर भक्त बिंद की जय, हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्रीमद भगवत धाम की जय, जय निताय गो प्रेम नंदी। Our glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the assembled devotees, our glories to the assembled devotees, our glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga, glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, this morning we're reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 8, entitled The Sons of Sagara Meet Lord Kapila Dev, Text 1-11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We'll read the preface by Srila Prabhupada. Chapter 8, The Sons of Sagara Meet Lord Kapila Dev. In this 8th chapter, the descendants of Rohita are described. In the dynasty of Rohita, there was a king named Sagara, whose history is described in relation to Kapila Dev and the destruction of the sons of Sagara. The son of Rohita was known as Harita, and the son of Harita was known as Champa, who constructed a township known as Champapuri. The son of Champa was Sudeva. The son of Sudeva was Vijaya. The son of Vijaya was Bharuka, and the son of Bharuka was Vrika. Bahuka, the son of Vrika, was greatly disturbed by his enemies, and therefore he left home with his wife and went to the forest. When he died there, his wife wanted to accept the principle of Sati, dying with her husband. But when she was about to die, a sage named Aurava found that she was pregnant and forbade her to do so. The co-wives of this wife, Bahuka, gave her poison with her food. But still, her son was born with the poison. The son was therefore named Sagara. Sa means with, and Gara means poison. Following the instructions of the great sage Aurava, King Sagara reformed many clans, including the Yavanas, Shakas, Ahayas and Babaras. The king did not kill them, but reformed them. Then again, following the instructions of Aurava, King Sagara performed Ashwamedha sacrifices. But the horse needed for such a sacrifice was stolen by Indra, the king of heaven. King Sagara had two wives named Sumati and Kashini. While searching for the horses, the sons of Sumati extensively dug up the surface of the earth, and in this way dug a trench which later became known as the Sagara Ocean. In the course of this search, they came upon the great personality Kapila Dev and thought him to have stolen the horse. With this offensive understanding, they attacked him and were all burnt to ashes. Kashini, the second wife of King Sagara, had a son named Asamanjasa, whose son, Anshuman, later searched for the horse and delivered his uncles. Upon approaching Kapila Dev, Anshuman saw both the horse meant for sacrifice and a pile of ashes. Anshuman offered prayers to Kapila Dev, who was very pleased by his prayers, and who returned the horse. After getting back the horse, however, Anshuman still stood before Kapila Dev, and Kapila Dev could understand that Anshuman was praying for the deliverance of his forefathers. Thus, Kapiladev offered the instruction that they could be delivered by water from the Ganges. Angsuman then offered respectful obeisances to Kapiladev, circumambulated him, and left that place with the horse for sacrifice. When King Sarva finished his yajna, he handed over the kingdom to Angsuman, and following the advice of Aroga, attained salvation. Chapter summary. Text 11 is on the board. We can read the first 10. Text 1 translation. Sugadeva Goswami continued, the son of Rohita was Harita, and Harita's son was Champa, who constructed the town of Champapuri. The son of Champa was Sudeva, and his son was Vijaya. The son of Vijaya was Baruka. Baruka's son was Vrika, and Vrika's son was Bahuka. The enemies of King Bahuka took away all his possessions, and therefore the king entered the order of Vanaprastha and went to the forest with his wife. We're reading the histories of the Manavas. Vaivashata Manavas. It's a lineage coming from Vaivashata Manu, in which Lord Ramchandra appeared, and also here Kapiladev. Bahuka died when he was old, and one of his wives wanted to die with him, following the Sati rite. At that time, however, Arova, Muni, knowing her to be pregnant, forbade her to do so. Knowing that she was pregnant, the co-wives of the wife of Bahuka conspired to give her poison with her food, but it did not act. Instead, the son was born along with the poison. Therefore, he became famous as Sagara, one who was born with poison. Sagara later became the emperor. The place known as Ganga Sagara was excavated by his sons. This Ganga Sagara, Kapiladev has his ashram there. He's supposed to be there, still be there in an invisible form to most. We have a place there. ISKCON has a place developing there. It's where the Ganges meets the ocean, Ganga Sagara. you can't see the other side of the Ganga. It's just where the ocean begins. So that place, it says, was cleared, leveled by the sons or the grandsons of Sagara. Sagara Maharaj, text 5-6, following the order of his spiritual master, Arava, did not kill the uncivilized men like the Talajangas, Javanas, Shakas, Ayayas, Babaras. Instead, some of them he made dress awkwardly. Some of them he shaved clean, but allowed to wear moustaches. Some of them he left wearing loose hair. Some he half-shaved. Some he left without underwear, and some without external garments. Thus, these different clans were made to dress differently, but King Sagara did not kill them. Text 7. Following the instructions of the great sage Aroba, Sagara Maharaj performed Ashwamedha sacrifices and thus satisfied the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Controller, the Super Soul of all. Learned scholars, the Super Soul of all learned scholars and the knower of all Vedic knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Indra, the King of Heaven, stole the horse meant to be offered at the sacrifice. King Sagara had two wives, Sumati and Kashini. The sons of Sumati were very proud of their prowess and influence. Following the order of their father, searched for the lost horse. While doing so, they dug into the earth very extensively. 6, 9, 10. Thereafter, in the northeast direction, they saw the horse near the ashram of Kapila Muni. "Here is the man who has stolen the horse," he said. "He is staying there with closed eyes. Certainly he is very sinful. Kill him, kill him." Shouting like this, the sons of Sagara, 60,000 altogether, raised their weapons. When they approached the sage opened his eyes. Text 11, we'll read the text. Svasarirajnina tavan Svasarirajnina tavan Mahindra Hritta Chetasa Mahindra Hritta Chetasa Mahadvyati Kramahata Mahadvyati Kramahata Bhashmasad Abhavam Shananat Bhashmasad Abhavam Shanat Svasariye Gninatavam Mahindra Hritta Chetasa Mahavyakti Kramahata Bhashmad Abhavan Shanat Svasari Agnina Thavan Mahindra Hritta Chetasa Mahadvyati Kramahata Bhashmasara Bhavan Shanat Sarira Agnina. By the fire emanating from their own bodies. Tavat. Immediately. Mahindra. By the tricks of Indra. The king of heaven. Hritta Chetasa. Their consciousness having been taken away. Mahat. A great personality. Vyatikrama Hata. Defeated by the fault of insulting. Bhashmasat. Burned to ashes. Bhavan became Shanat immediately. Translation. By the influence of Indra, the king of heaven, the sons of Sagara had lost their intelligence and disrespected a great personality. Consequently, fire emanated from their own bodies and they were immediately burnt to ashes. Please repeat. By the influence of Indra, the king of heaven, the sons of Sagara had lost their intelligence and disrespected a great personality. Consequently, fire emanated from their own bodies and they were immediately burned to ashes. The material body is a combination of earth, water, fire, air and ether. There is already fire within the body, and our practical experience is that the heat of this fire sometimes increases and sometimes decreases. The fire within the bodies of the sons of Sagara Maharaj became so much hotter that all of them burned to ashes. The fire's increased heat was due to their misbehavior towards a great personality. Such misbehavior is called Mahad Vyatikrama. They were killed by the fire of their own bodies because of insulting a great personality. And the purport. Om Agyantaram Vishayanantaram Sakya Chakshur Naitamitasmai Sri Gurudevaha. Namo Mishum Daibhu Sai Budhare Smati Bhakti Vidanda Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gorvani Pacharine Nevishesha Shandavari Pasarasatharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, lesson here, don't insult great personalities. Otherwise you may get fried, burned. So this is actually a phenomenon that is known, that I forgot there's a word for it. Something like self-combustion, something like that. There's a lot of histories that people actually, they find people that are burnt. You know, they're sitting in a chair and they're all burnt and the chair's hardly burnt, but their bodies have turned to ashes. And it's quite a lot of documentary. Of course, they're trying to explain it scientifically, as it's an external cause that they've been drinking a lot of alcohol or something, but there are many cases. I forget the terminology. But we know that there is heat in the body. Fire is one of the elements that the body is made of. And it can be increased, I guess, by the Lord's desire. Devyashi Gunamai Mama Maya. It's my energy, the world's under my direction. So if he wants to increase the fire in your body, then he can do so. That's his prerogative. To teach people that the great personalities should be respected and not insulted. So the yogis, the people who practice yoga, Kundalini yoga, sometimes they find they get blisters on their backside, you know, I'm trying to raise a kundalini and it actually produces heat. You actually get burn marks on the blisters on their body. So you can do that by different yogis do that. How do they stay submerged in water in the winter up to their neck? Or live in the Himalayas and with wearing only a kopan? How do they do it? They know the art of raising that, increasing the fire element within their body. So it's like if you know the mantra, you can increase the air element in an object, then it becomes light. Then you can decrease the weight, then you can pick up something very heavy. The magicians, they do that. And I mean, the mystic magicians, they show powers like this. By mantra, they can manipulate the elements and increase or decrease them. Because we all the just like these, our bodies are made of predominantly water and earth, right? But in other bodies, in the higher planets, you see the Siddhaloka, etc., they're much finer. The bodies are much finer. They're more of less earth and water, right? And we know that when we actually leave the body, that the real gross ones, the earth, water, fire, sky, ether, they're left behind, and the mind and the intelligence, they take the soul. That subtle body takes the soul. It's very, very fine. It can go anywhere, pass through anything. So we accept these things as plausible, and because even when you can't understand it, we accept it anyway because it's scripture. Because I think materialists, they try to explain it away scientifically by some external thing, but it's always it's known that there is heat within the body. It says here by the influence of the king Indra, when the sons of Sagara, the 60,000, they saw Kapila sitting in meditation, and they saw the horse tied near his ashram. That was Indra's clever tricks, because they were chasing him to kill him. And so Indra tied the horse to the ashram of Kapila, the sage. Smart. So get out of trouble from 60,000 angry people. And just like Krishna, who was he running away from? And he went to Muchikunda's cave. Kaliyamana. So Krishna did the same thing. He didn't want to kill that person because maybe he was a Yavana, right? So Krishna didn't want to. So he did the same thing. He ran into that cave. He knew he was there. And but that was an external reason that Kaliman got burnt to ashes by the angry glance of the king. So, but here it says that so Indra, and then he bewildered them. Indra bewildered them into thinking that this is actually Indra. He's a master of this disguises. Also Indra. The demigods, they have a lot of mystic power, so especially Indra. He has, in the story of Prithu, when Prithu was performing a similar thing, 100 horse sacrifices, if you perform 100 or 101, you can get the position of Indra. So he's very nervous when people get up to 99. he gets very shaky. So he's fearful. So even as a king of heaven, there's fear there. And so he did the similar thing with Prithu. He stole the horse. Then Prithu's son was going to kill him, and then he turned himself into a sannyasi, right, with a rod and a mendicant with a skull, and they couldn't kill him. This is a sannyasi. You can't kill a holy person. So even he knew it was Indra, but because he was like that, and he would take on these various disguises, disguises and then he came back and he said, "Why didn't you kill him?" He said, "Couldn't, he's a sannyasi." Prithu Maharaj got very angry. He picked up his bow. He was going to kill him. But then Lord Brahma or Manu came. Manu or Brahma come. "Don't kill him," he said. "You know, you only kill animals at sacrifices, otherwise it's not very auspicious. Don't kill Indra. You know, he's a demigod, and even up there, they have their problems. They have their egos. They have their envy and all that." He said, "But he's Indra after all. Should let him be. He's a, you know, don't mind. Anyway, you're already transcendental. Prithu is a Shakta vision. So you already have full understanding of full knowledge. You're transcendental. Why do you want to perform 100? Be satisfied with 90 and 99." So then he became pacified and happily embraced Indra. But it says in the Prabhupada, it is saying that because of that, Indra's taken those disguises, different disguises and dresses, different mendicants, sannyasis, things like that, Brahma said, if you don't stop, he's going to keep doing this, and then people in general in the material world are going to use these examples that Indra did this. He said, so you better not, he's done enough, don't, the more you try to catch him, the more he's going to do, and this will give more fuel, more ideas for the conditioned souls. Oh, look, Indra did this, and usurp the position of sannyas, the sannyas vesh, the mendicant's vesh, because they're trusted, right? A sannyas can go anywhere. Nobody, there's no barter for a sannyas to go anywhere. So then, that's a very, you're putting yourself in a position of great trust and respect, and you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position if a person is not actually pure, with pure intent. So then they, Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga, they take advantage of this. Of that position, because that position comes with the facility, and then when there's opportunity, they misuse it. So Brahma, he said, just be satisfied with 90. You don't need, you're already transcendental. So they, so here then. The sons of Saira thought, this Indra, that's Indra, in disguise, he's disguised himself as a sage. Kill him. Huh? We don't care, we kill him anyway. But it wasn't Indra, it was Kapiladev. Kapiladev is actually a plenary portion of, is an incarnation of the Lord. Huh? Born to Kadama Muni and Devahuti. Very powerful. He's famous for his golden hair. His color of his hair. And he's teaching the Shankhya philosophy, analytical study of everything, how to unpack the material world and get a good view of it in reality, what it is. Shankhya philosophy. So he appeared as the son of Kadama. He says he entered into the semen of Kadama and into the womb of Devahuti. But one shouldn't think that because the Lord, that place is the cause of the Lord's appearance. It's like the pillar is not the cause of a Hiranyakashipu, but he's born from a pillar. He beard from a pillar, but that's not the cause of the Hiranyakashipu, the Lord. And the Varaha Dev appeared from the nostril of Lord Brahma. But that's not the nostril of Lord Brahma, is not. So the Lord is, he can appear in any way he wants. So if he wants to appear through his devotees' bodies, he can do that also. So this is the powerful Kapila Muni who who they're trying to kill, they're rushing at him to kill him. And he wasn't fazed. This story continues tomorrow, and we'll read about it. It wasn't Kapila. He didn't burn them to ashes. They burnt themselves to ashes by their attitude, or the Lord in the heart did it for them, just like we heard recently that when if you criticize somebody, saintly person, the result is that you take on their bad karma. If you criticize somebody unnecessarily, then you, as a result of that criticism, you relieve them of bad karma for saintly persons. So, if they were really angry, they were ready to kill him, and that just came back. Kapila Dev was not affected; it came back on them, and then they were burnt to ashes. Horrible. Finished. 60,000 sons. Then who was it? Then another son went to search for them. He couldn't do it. Then who was it? Who eventually found them? Ankshuman. He saw Kapila. He went to the Kapila Muni. It was the second generation, and he saw Kapila. He saw the horse. He saw Kapila, and he saw a big pile of ashes. And he realized what had happened. So he said, "How come?" He prayed to Kapila Dev. He had a very nice devotional attitude, and Kapila Dev was very pleased with him. So he said, "Here's your horse. You please take it." But he was still standing there. So then he understood. He was concerned about his uncles who had been burnt to ashes. So I asked them, "How can they be delivered from being ascended by the waters of the Ganges? If you sprinkle the water of the Ganges here, then they can be delivered." And thus we get the story of how the Ganges came here. I mean, it wasn't... You could do two things, right? You could pray to Mother Ganges to come here, or you could try and get to the Viroja River yourself. So anyway, but he prayed to Lord Shiva. He performed, because Shiva is called Ashutosh, right? Very easily pleased. They began to worship Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva blessed them with his darshan and asked, "I can give you that benediction you require," because Ganga Devi had already agreed, but she said, "Who will catch me when I come? I will shatter the earth. If I land on the earth will be broken pieces." So then Lord Shiva agreed to catch in his jut. So that was the whole story, how the Mother Ganges came here. So these are pastimes of the Lord. What he desires, how these things take place, and so it's, you know, they're kind of relatable, not like the glance of the Lord. It's very mystical how the elements come into being and the ma-tattva. But here we have actual descriptions that we can relate to, how the creation how things get here, how the creation how the species take birth, right, by the different sages. They're giving birth to different species of life from Kadama Muni. He had seven daughters also before he had Kapila Dev. And Kadama was really powerful. He had a flying palace. Devahuti was a queen, princess, when she married him. And he was a Muni. So it was pretty tough for her. But she was very tolerant, very chaste. And she tolerated that, and her hair became in like a jet, dreadlocks, and her skin was dirty because she didn't use salt, they just used mud in the river, and a little stained, and her clothes were, you know, washed out. And she was thin, they were just living on fruits and roots. And Kadama was very, seeing her like that after some time, he was very compassionate. Because he knew, you know, she'd taken on great austerities as that princess. And he knew that she wanted to have children and everything. And she asked him, "Do you remember that benediction that you offered me? She said, if you give me children and a suitable house," because they're living in the forest. So he said, "By the power of my yoga, my austerities, I'll show you something wonderful. I'm giving you this benediction also, because you're like half of me." Then he created this flying palace. This gorgeous palace. I mean, it's huge. You know. He said it was multi-storied. It's not a new thing. The skyscrapers mentioned seven stories high. All the rooms were beautifully bedecked, and coral floors and rubies and diamond doors and silks and tapestries and flags and hundreds of thousand Gandhava maid servants, she had. And there was, it wasn't just a building, it was parks and gardens. And this could move at the will by his mind. He would tell it where he wanted to go. And there were swans and birds and things like that. Everything was perfect. And then he says, come on, get him, let's go for a honeymoon. Right? Yeah. It used to be famous, you know, you used to go to Paris and Rome and, you know, Rio Grande. And, you know. But here, he took her to the Nandan, Kandan, the gardens, different planetary systems. He was taking her around the different places where the demigods go and enjoy different sarovas. And he says, get on board, and we go. she said, how can I get on like this? So he said, oh, yeah. Take a bath in the river, lake, Bindusrova. She gets into the lake, she finds a mansion there, she goes into a mansion under the water. All these young girls, and they dress her up and give her lots of nice massage her and put all these different unguents and herbs on her and make it very beautiful again. Get nice clothes. And so that's and Kapila, you know, he was very pleased by the transcendental activities of Kadama Muni, and so he agreed to appear, because after the seven daughters, they were all highly qualified, and they were given to the respective sages, or some of the seven sages, the big sages. And from then they started a progeny of the human beings. So the Lord said, I'm very pleased with you, and I will appear as your son. So this way the Lord Kapila Dev appeared. And so he's famous for his instructions on the Shankya, his transcendental instructions. What is this material world? You know, who are we? What is our situation? How we're attached, and how to see it for what it is, and become free from that attachment, and on the positive side, to actually engage in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he gave his instructions to his mother, because when Kapila was going to, the husband was going to leave after that, but she desired a son, so then she got the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a son. And before he left, because he was going to leave also, she said, please give me some transcendental instructions. So he gave those instructions, which we have. Also compiled in a separate book from this Bhagavatam, the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev, very instructive. So this is how the explaining the dynasties and the where. Asking why this happened in this dynasty, he's telling very briefly, oh, why this happened? Then he go back and elaborate on the story. So he's elaborated on this, the saga. Already in other places also it's done, but he's elaborating on the appearance of Kapila, the appearance of Ganga Devi. later on, now coming up will be the appearance of Ramchandra in the same dynasty. So this is the Bhagavat Purana is a historical record of events that took place that we can actually relate to and get guidance from, get the, because they're, and they're full of instructions on, within these, as well as the actual history. They're full of spiritual instructions for us that we can utilize in our purify our existence in the material world, and also go back to the spiritual world. This is the purpose of it. So that's how the Lord, why the Lord appears here and performs pastimes, and that these pastimes are recorded in these histories. So by hearing about these things, by reading them, then because they're spiritual, we're actually associating with these people and these events and these places that they're talking about, spiritual places. And even though we don't perceive it, because they are spiritual, because we don't have realization, then we don't actually perceive it or feel it. But because the effect will be that, we get purified, because we're associating with these spiritual personalities in a verbal form, in a sound form. The stories are made attractive, that we want to like Mahabharat, right? It's for the less intelligent people. But stories contain into lots of adventures and politics and excitement and romance. That the big things we like to hear, but within that there's a lot of spirituality which purifies us. So that's the whole point of it. So we get purified and we get attracted to the Lord at the same time by hearing about His wonderful qualities. And pastimes, they become our heroes, we become attracted to them, and then that, and by hearing that we get purified. Then that attraction becomes, you know, actually real. We can actually, the transformation takes place as the gross elements gradually have a less influence on us. They're purified. The elements are gradually purified. It means we're getting purified, becoming free from these gross elements, grosser modes of nature, tama and raja, and then situated in goodness, then it's much easier to perceive what spirituality actually is. This is the... And by hearing the stories of Krishna, etc., and the pure devotees, then we also have an inclination to be like that, to serve Him, to love Him. So already we have a favorable mentality. And with that purification we're getting from this, then this is what makes everything work. You know, we become purified and we become devotees at the same time. This is the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay. Srila Prabhupada ki jay. Mahaprabhu Bhaktivinoda ki jay. Gopremanandi Hare Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Any comments, question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. What is how to understand criticism? Does criticism means that we have to externally criticize, or even sometimes we try to discriminate according to shastras or that someone? Then, if we are mentally criticizing, are we mentally criticizing then when we are discriminating between who is right or he is speaking right or not according to shastras? Well, are we still criticizing in our minds? Would that be affecting us?
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Even I'm trying to construct the question properly. When we're trying to discriminate according to shastras, then are we criticizing that devotee mentally, or?
Not while you're trying to discriminate, but if you immediately come to a conclusion that they're wrong, then that's different. But while you're discriminating, then that's obviously not criticism. But if you come to the conclusion that they're wrong, then you have to be careful, because it may not be. We may be. We're also suffering from defects, right? Imperfect senses. And of course, if it's your position, if they're people under your care, then that's permissible for correction. Criticism for correction is permissible. But not up. We can't criticize or correct those senior to us. But that was a mistake here. They just came to that conclusion. This must be Indra in disguise, and it wasn't. And it was a super elevated personality. So they got a super elevated reaction. So when we criticize, we get some of their karma, but they got rid of a lot of karma, I guess.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Well, it seems that Indra, what happened to Indra? Because Indra had a role to play in the entire incident. It's written in the verse that due to Indra's influence, they lost their intelligence and thus this entire episode happened. So, is Indra under the laws of nature or is he accountable for his acts?
Indra, no. Vishnu Chakravarti said he made him think like that. It's actually Indra's, by his mystic potency, he made him think that this is Indra. So he didn't mind that he's going to be killed or cursed.
So the effect should have been to Indra as well. But we see that all 60,000 sons died and Indra was roaming free.
Yeah. Yeah. That was his program. Self-defense. Right? They come to kill him. he was a thief, but they would want to murder him. You can say it's self-defense.
Even in Pithu Maharaj episode, Indra was allowed to escape free. And so, is he accountable for his acts or is he not?
No. Not from our point of view. He's so powerful. he has got some karma. Obviously, he's in the material world, but he's so powerful that he transfers sinful reactions. His own sinful reaction, he can transfer it to other people. That's the status he is. So therefore, it says these great. I mean, he's always getting into trouble. I mean, often getting into trouble and big mistakes because he's a big person, right? He offends Krishna sometimes. tries to kill the bridge buses. So he's pretty heavy character in one sense, you know. But because he is the king of heaven, then the Lord Brahma usually comes and look, he's a manager up there, just, you know, don't worry. See it as destiny, and so he gets kind of excused. It's like the king is beyond. Was it? King has beyond. Huh? The king can do no wrong. He's beyond the rules. The king makes the rules, right? So he can't do any wrong. So like that. That's what we see. I mean, he does get afflicted sometimes. Obviously, he gets covered with it. 1,000 eyes, but otherwise he can he can transfer his karma. He's powerful.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. I was listening to a lecture this morning by Gaur Govinda Swami about the strong boat of Sadhu Sangha. So he was explaining about how Sadhu Sangha helps, how bhakti develops only in the association of sadhu, guru, Vaishnavas. So, as I was listening, I was coming to know about how many offenses one could make even after being in association, because so many things I couldn't know also. In one instance, he says that committing offenses in mind also affects, is an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. If we are thinking ill or if we misunderstand somebody, like Gadadhar Pandit was misunderstanding Pundarika Vidyanidhi, but then one devotee helped him to understand him better. So that association helped him in avoiding offenses to devotee. This strong boat of Sadhu Sangha I was telling about, that we are all in the ocean of material sufferings. So only a sadhu is like a boat and he can protect us.
Thank you. Then you have to be careful. The greater the sadhus we associate with, the greater the offense. If we make an offense against them, then the greater the reaction. It's like in the West, they're sinful, but they're not apparatus, because there's no one to offend. There's no saints in the West, practically. So, apparatus is worse than sin. The Lord appears in Bharat Russia because he knows that he'll be have proper respect. So, that's the other danger. You want to associate with devotees, but you have to be very careful also, because then the bigger the devotee, then the bigger the reaction, the bigger the if we make an offense. So they're necessary. We need that association, but one has to have the proper approach. That's why the first aspect of knowledge is humility. If we're humble, then we don't judge so quickly. We're humble. Thank you.
Yes. Then sadhu gives the vision to see a sadhu, to recognize a devotee. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.